kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I'm Matt, because over here in the pre-show, you basically said my art sucked. And now I'm just like, yeah, fuck you. I don't want to talk for the rest of the show.
Thank God. Oh, my God. Is that the secret to getting you to not talk? If only I'd known. I could have saved myself so much grief for the last 100 episodes.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, what is your problem?
For the record, Cole, I think your art is nice.
Hey, I love her art. I wear her. I bought a face mask of her artwork, and that's what I wear when I go to stores and shit like that. I wear your art on my face.
To be fair, I haven't bought any of Cole's art.
To self-promote, if you're going to buy a mug, which like I am repeatedly told are the best things in my store, wait until Black Friday, because I've got a deal for $5 off of mugs on Black Friday.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because my supplier was like, hey, here's $5 off. And I was like, well.
Black Friday.
Guess I'm having a Black Friday sale after all.
$5 off.
How much are the mugs normally?
25, I believe.
Jesus Christ, for a mug. No, I don't know how much mugs cost.
Yeah, I call the, $25. I roll the cost of shipping into them so they can ship free, and mugs are expensive to ship.
Yeah.
So
I can understand that. I know shipping is probably like $10 alone.
$10 a mug. Yeah, it's like $9.50 a mug to the US.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I admire all these companies that offer free shipping on whatever they sell. Like, I know when I order a collector's edition, that fucker's got to be like $20-$30 to ship.
Yeah.
Free shipping. Cool. Works for me.
Here's the trick of the trade. We're rolling the price in. Yeah. I usually try to do bundles when I can. Like if I know somebody specific is getting ready to order a certain series of items, you can reach out to me and I will put that shit in a bundle and I will lower the price to knock off the shipping.
Nice.
Yeah.
That means we have to talk to you, though.
Yeah. It's really going to be the highlight of your day.
Only if it's a Skype call. You got to hear each other.
Yeah.
You need the full Cole experience with the voice.
There's nothing better than hearing me say white mug repeatedly. What did you want? The white mug? The 11 ounce? All right, I got you.
Let the accent flow. Let it go.
Yeah, because I curb it that shit for the podcast so that I don't get comments saying I sound like I'm drunk. And
You should just let it fly for one episode.
Yeah, I don't have any reason to curb that shit when I'm placing orders in the store. So, you know, take what you get.
If we do a show for April 1st, you should just let it fly, the whole Cole experience.
Oh, no. I apologize already.
I like that name, though, for the, like, that should be the episode title, The Whole Cole Experience.
We have problems. There's news to talk about this week. Oh, yeah, Jacob's here. We didn't even officially announce it. Jacob, you're here.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Not even worth announcing.
Randall, Flozax, Rollins, and chat saying, geez, we're still doing introductions. Yeah. Yeah, I'm bad at my job. I'm bad at doing this show. That should be nothing new.
We're like 633 episodes in. You figure we would have nailed this down by now.
Hey, at least we're doing timestamps in the show notes now, right?
Which is fantastic.
Someone's like, are you going to go back and do it for all of them? I'm like, fuck no, I'm not.
We don't care that much.
If someone else wants to, be my guest. There's no way I'm redoing every write-up for 600 episodes.
You don't pay me enough.
No, I pay you nothing, and I proudly pay you nothing because your work sucks. No.
I mean, I figure it's, you know, the free games I get, but, you know. And even then, my work still sucks for some of those games I get.
That's true.
Yeah. Which we'll see if...
Thank you for the affirmation, Cole.
That's what I'm here for.
We'll see if one of those games is good later on, but we have news to talk about first. Big news of the week is Embracer Group, THQ Nordic's parent company, went on a fucking buying spree this week. Oh, you saw this, right?
I did. They pulled a Microsoft. They were like, I'll buy you, I'll buy you.
They got their Black Friday shopping done early.
Oh, they did. They picked up a ton of studios, including 34 Big Things, which they released Red Out, A Thinking Ape Entertainment, Flying Wild Hog, which did Shadow Warrior, IUGO Mobile, Madhead Games, Nimble Giant Entertainment, I believe those are both mobile studios, Purple Lamp Studios, which did the SpongeBob Rehydrated release, Quantic Lab, Silent Games, Snapshot Games, and then these two really surprised me, Zen Studios,
Friends
at Zen, which hopefully
weren't they like, hey, we got some shit coming up, but we can't talk to you about it yet?
Yeah.
Now we know what it was.
Now we know what kind of shit they couldn't talk to us about. Hopefully we could get someone on to chat with us when they're able to talk about it. But it's cool to see those guys get picked up, and hopefully this works out really well for them. I'm excited to see what happens for Zen. And then Sandbox Strategies, which is a PR company.
Interesting pickup there.
Yeah, we work with Sandbox Strategies on a lot of our reviews, full disclosure there. But it's interesting to see that a PR company was acquired by a video game company.
Maybe they just want something to, like, you know, handle all of the PR for all of their studios that they just picked up.
Yeah. I wonder what this means for all the indies that Sandbox represents.
I assume they'll probably give them the option to carry over their deals or just get out of their contracts or what have you.
I mean, maybe. But, I mean, it also may be something where it's like business as usual, like where like when Disney bought out like Lucasfilm and stuff like that, I think if I remember correctly, they technically owned like Industrial Light and Magic, but Disney was like, yeah, like we own it, but we're hands off on who they do business with. Like they'll just do special effects for whoever the fuck. And if we tell them, like, you know, hey, you're doing special effects for one of our movies, then they're doing it. But otherwise, they're free to do business with who they want to. So
like that's one of those deals.
Yeah, hopefully.
But it's interesting to see what happens. Exciting time for all of those companies. I am surprised Flying Wild Hog wasn't picked up by Devolver.
Why is that?
Because of Shadow Warrior.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I always thought Devolver would team up with them, but some more news.
Maybe they make a good enough offer.
Who knows? We'll find out. The future is wide open, or some like
my beehole
inspirational shit like that.
Seems legit.
Some sad news. There's a bunch of games leaving Game Pass on December 1st. A lot of good ones too. Wander Song is leaving.
Mm-hmm. Which is a quick completion if you cheese it. So yeah,
you use the
don't miss out on that. Yeah,
but you should play it legit. It's a great game.
You should. I'm always a fan of like having the option to cheese if you don't feel like making sure you get every damn achievement on your playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of games have been ruined for me because I have to go look up a guide so I don't miss shit, and then I'm like, I just wanted to experience it. But I don't have time to replay it 17 times, so I'm a big fan of, hey, you know what, just cheese it and get your shit when you're done. That's a great mechanic.
It works.
Yep. I was about to panic thinking Scott was fucked up, but no, it was just you were being quiet.
Yeah. I didn't know if you had more to say or not. Editing, doesn't matter. Next game. Okay, Truncate Silence. That gap won't be there at all. Dead Island Definitive Edition is leaving. The Escapists 2, Mutant Year Zero, Road to Eden, Absolver, Demon's Tilt, Faria, And on the PC side, Hatoful Boyfriend.
Oh.
The pigeon dating
sim. Pigeon dating
sim. That one is so weird.
They didn't release an Xbox version of it, did they?
Nope.
Was Faria on Xbox?
I believe so, yeah.
I had it installed on PC. I didn't know it was on Xbox. Shit.
Oh, Carnage saying Faria on PC, not console.
Okay. I didn't think it was.
I checked the page and I have it, so I apparently bought it somewhere.
Terrible.
Carnage says it's on Xbox, but I think the PC one is leaving. I think it's just the whole game is leaving. I don't know. We'll find out. December 1st, they're leaving. We'll find out. I think only two games joined this week. Star Renegades launched to Game Pass, and River City Girls joined Game Pass.
Okay. I'm sure there's some people excited about that one.
Mm-hmm. River City Girls is pretty awesome. I know Tim liked that one. And then Pernell's been asking about Star Renegades. So.
Oh. Well, then there he goes.
Now he has to get Game Pass.
Nope. And not play Ori.
Some weird news. It's been confirmed that the PS5 keeps the same paid cloud save model that the PS4 had.
Gross.
So you need to have PS Plus to have cloud saves on the PS5 still.
That's pretty damn dumb.
Yeah. I love the free and automatic cloud storage on Xbox. Thank you, Microsoft. That's very kind of you.
Do you ever just like when you hear that PlayStation's charging for something so mundane as cloud saves, you ever just go, why the fuck does anybody still bother with them?
And although, the best part is, to be fair, I don't know if they're automatic or not.
Oh.
Like all these games I've played, I don't know if my progress was uploaded or if I had to manually do it and everything I did is gone in all these games on PS4 I had.
Damn.
Oh, do you not have PS Plus?
Oh, I have it. I just don't know if they upload the saves automatically or if I have to do it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was going to be fair and say I shit on Sony for the whole, you know, pay for cloud saves, but at least they let you play free games without being subscribed to.
Yeah, that would be nice if Xbox would do that. That's definitely somewhere that Xbox can improve.
Yeah.
I don't know why they have a gold requirement on free to play game.
Yeah. Oh, well. Can't be perfect everywhere.
Yeah. And then Rupert saying you have to pay on the Switch, too. That's right. It's stupid over there on the Switch, too.
Yeah. So at least that's one area they do have a leg up. Yeah. One out of, like, 900, I guess.
Speaking of the Switch, Super Mario 3D All-Stars got another update. This newest one adds GameCube controller support to Mario Sunshine.
Ah.
So that's pretty cool.
I wonder if that makes it easier or harder.
I don't know. I don't know if they have the original controls that the GameCube version had, where it was the analog triggers instead of just digital triggers.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because Nintendo, I loved the GameCube triggers. They would trigger, and then you would hit a stop point, and then you could click down as well. It was really cool for driving games, where you'd be driving, then you click on it for the boost instead of using another button. It was smart. I liked it.
Yeah.
Final bit of news I have is that Fall Guys has sold over 10 million copies on PC.
Jeez.
Wow.
Doesn't even include PlayStation.
That's impressive. That is really impressive.
Yeah, everyone talks about Among Us now and how Fall Guys isn't the flavor of the month anymore, but 10 million copies? Fall Guys did pretty well for itself.
Yeah. That's, I was talking about how Tim the Tatman was, like, one of the nominees for creator of the year. And I was like, look, he's there because of Fall Guys and them shitting on him for not being able to get a win. And to, I mean, I'm sure he's a fine streamer otherwise, but he's going to win that shit because of Fall Guys and the popularity of it. That's my hot take on that one. So yeah,
the Game Awards.
They announced all their shit. Most of it sucks. Most of it's pretty blatantly obvious what's going to win. basically going to be a sweep up between The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima.
Yep.
They're just going to be battling out who gets the most. Ori was snubbed for
game. Streets of Rage 4 is up for best action game.
I mean, it ain't going to win it though.
Yeah, but it's still a nomination.
It ain't going to win it. That's just the thing. Like you're at not this point, it's true because I can't action.
Game Awards play too much PlayStation. No time.
It's true though. Like I don't want to be one of those people that hollers, I'm biased in the media because that's. I mean, we're technically media and we're clearly biased toward Xbox.
Very much so. Yeah.
But at the same time, like man, just. It sucks to even look at it, look at the nominees and go, I can already tell you what's going to win. And it doesn't matter if they were good or not. It's just that they were the ones that had the budget behind them to support that. And that's disappointing. I wish there was more space for indies. And yeah, you can say, well, Hades is included or Hyperdot got nominated. It's like, okay. There's like two out of how many?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating that there's not enough space for small games and small creators in the award sphere. And that sucks. It's disappointing. It is. It's like a lot of the, I will say shout out to Fall Guys though, because they did their shit. They earned their space. Mario's gonna shit all over him for the best family friendly title, but I wouldn't be mad if they did win it because again, small studios need that boost that winning an award like that brings. But oh well, it is what it is. I'd also like to point out that the esports nominees could really heavily stand some diversity.
Why? What were they? Just all white males?
All white or Asian?
Hmm.
And all male. There were no females. In the content creator, I think Alana Pierce was the only female. And that was, they were just all.
Yeah, we need more diversity for sure. More female representation would be nice. Video gaming is too much of a sausage fest.
Yeah. I want to give them credit for having innovation and inclusivity as a full-fledged category, but I don't know what accessibility options were in half of the games that they included. Like, none of those are standouts to me for accessibility, like the way that Celeste was with assist mode or I don't know, just like, okay, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but what does it have for accessibility?
No.
And even for that matter, I don't know, Ubisoft, I'll give them credit, they are a little bit ahead of the pack when it comes to accessibility options. Call of Duty 2, I know plenty of people complain, oh, there's so many settings, but shiz. But a lot of those settings are...
You complained about something in a video game?
Love is hard. A lot of those settings are ultimately accessibility features, and they're important, even if they may not seem that way. Aki said it took away from accessibility, which is sad. I'm not sure what she's talking about. Assassin's Creed, maybe, but I know that, like with The Division, the accessibility features, like the menu navigation, was automatically voiced and narrated. And you had to go in and turn a narrator off. The narrator
she was referring to Valhalla.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so, like, that was fantastic. But people bitched about it, and they haven't done it in any other game since. And that's a problem. Like, is it really that big of a frustration point to you to have to go in and click a button to turn it off where you have eyes that let you see to do that?
Yeah, it's dumb. I don't get it.
I wish they're... Okay, Rootbeer says Last of Us 2's accessibility features are amazing, so they're probably going to win. I don't know what they are. Obviously, I haven't played it. I did watch somebody play it, but I didn't ask to see what the accessibility features were because I didn't think it was going to be a thing. But
We mentioned Ubisoft and Valhalla. I have some gripes with Ubisoft.
Uh-oh.
Well, a lot of people have gripes with Ubisoft, but the first thing that people are griping about is Watch Dogs Legion apparently has big issues with auto-saving, where it's apparently not saving anything after a half hour played.
Really?
People are losing literally hours of playtime.
Is this
including you?
Well, I haven't played Legion that much.
Is this
Valhalla that you were having issues with the save?
Yeah, I'm talking about Legion right now.
Oh.
Is this specific to the Series X versions, or because David played it on the 1S and we didn't have any trouble out of it? Like, people were like, "Oh, it's crashing on and breaking Xboxes." I was like, "No."
Well, sometimes I'm a little grateful to every Xbox.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm a little grateful for my little last gen machine. It doesn't do shit, but at least it stays on.
I haven't played in long enough chunks to be affected by the save bug, but there's people saying that they've lost hours of time because the game just wouldn't autosave. Mm-hmm. And the worst part is there's no manual save in the game.
Oh.
Yeah. How shitty is that?
Wait. What?
You cannot pause the game and go into the main menu and go to save game, pick a save slot, and make a manual save, which should be standard in every goddamn adventure, action, RPG, whatever game out there. That should be standard.
Damn.
Okay. How the hell did this even get past, like, quality assurance? That's like...
I guess it's a gameplay decision to do that, but it is stupid.
Like, I mean, like, the fact that it's not saving beyond 30 minutes, like, how the hell do you not notice that?
I don't know. But I had issues with Valhalla, another game that is giving people save problem issues, me included, where you'll be playing the game, you'll go to save your game, and it just says data corrupted.
Oh.
And if you try to load it, it says that the data is corrupted and you have to start over.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not good. That is not good at all. Apparently, the fix is that you just reboot the game and instead of manually loading something, you just go to continue. From what I hear, apparently some issue with Ubisoft's cloud servers and syncing the save files, and that's why they're showing up as corrupt. I saved my game data corrupt, and after like 20 times of trying auto saves, manual saves, quick saves, everything possible, I just gave up and quit the game. I went back 2 days later, and the save files were fine. I don't know why, but something's fucked up with their save files, and they need to fix it.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, yeah. That's my gripe of the week. Jacob, anything you want to gripe about this week?
My only real gripe is that I started playing Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And so far I've played, I think, like 2.5 hours in. And I swear to God, like, probably about 2 hours of that has been cutscenes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I know it's a long-standing tradition of, like, 20... to 30 minute cutscenes, like, in between chapters, but like the first chapter is essentially cutscenes broken up with like a single fight that lasts like 3 minutes, and then next cutscene, and I'm just like, shit. I mean, not that I'm not having a good time so far, but
you want to, like, play the game too.
Yeah, like I you know, I didn't just purchase a huge like $60 movie.
Yeah, it's like
yes, with you Mortal did. Kombat 11.
I mean, it's Yakuza, so yeah, technically I did purchase a $60 movie, but you know what I mean.
It's the same issue in Mortal Kombat 11. We were playing Mortal Kombat 11 at a party last year. Maze Dude was playing it, and we would get to a cutscene and just set the controller down, and when the screensaver pops up during a cutscene, you know your cutscenes are too fucking long.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it happened a few times where the cutscene, it had to be longer than 10 minutes to trigger the screensaver.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous for a cutscene in a game. And then you have a two-round fight that lasts, you know, a minute.
Right.
And then it's another 7 to 10 minute cutscene.
So.
Paul, any gripes on your end?
No.
You're just all hunky-dory this week?
Yeah, I'm just kind of floating by.
Vicodin's kicking in, you know.
Was that like a cry for help?
Well, it's a combination of Vicodin and muscle relaxers. And I'm kind of just existing.
Well, are you ready for reviews then?
Oh, what about news? We're not done with news, are we?
What, I asked if you guys had news.
No, you said gripes. No, you asked if I had gripes.
Okay, well then what news do you want to talk about?
Okay, first off, Capcom had a huge fucking security breach back at the beginning of November that they finally, like, detailed to everyone on the 12th. So, employee information, stockholder information, esports registration.
Damn.
Customer information, both from the Capcom store, like, I think USA, Europe, and Japan, and, like, a whole bunch of other shit has all been leaked. And that's, like, names, addresses, IT support, help tickets, all sorts of shit.
Jeez.
I
didn't know that much was leaked. Like, I heard about the one game. I'm sure that's what you're gonna get to, but I didn't hear about all that stuff.
Well, that's funny. I didn't hear about a game, so I really? Only heard about, like, yeah, I'm dead serious. I only heard about the data leak.
Apparently, part of the data leak is that Street Fighter VI is in development. For PS4, PS5. Xbox One, Xbox Series X. Yay. It's not going to be fucking exclusive anymore, and PC.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
Well, that's nice.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, big fucking surprise there. I thought you were going to be like, by the way, somebody got all the Mega Man Legends 3 shit, and I was like about to bust a nut live on the podcast.
Yeah. Keep dreaming.
Thank goodness that didn't happen.
That's not a sound I want to hear on this show.
He's the blue bomber because he's blue. So there's that and other Capcom news. I didn't realize that the Monster Hunter movie had been moved to December 30th. They did this back in October because originally it was supposed to be released this fall. Then due to the pandemic, they're like, let's shoot for April. And then they moved it back to December 30th. And now they have moved it to Christmas Day for worldwide release. It is to go up against Wonder Woman 1984, that movie is going to be released on HBO Max and in theaters December 25th. And I don't know if they're doing it as some sort of a power move against Wonder Woman, because supposedly Warner Brothers is, like, really relaxing their rental fees on the movie. So theaters can just, you know, they could stack in a bunch of screens with Wonder Woman and make it so everyone can socially distance and all that kind of stuff. But there was talk of, like, some theaters would have half of their screens just filled with Wonder Woman. Everyone's saying, like, oh, well, it's Screen Gems that's releasing Monster Hunter, and supposedly they're doing this just so they can beat Wonder Woman to the punch and make it so they get some of the screens too. So if you feel like dealing with the, like, you know, going outside and, you know, you just have to watch Monster Hunter, you know, there's your fucking Christmas present. You know, potential case of COVID.
Why are people still going to movies?
It's just like all the local theaters. I mean, it's just like supposedly, like, they all do, like, a bunch of socially distancing stuff and they all do a ton of cleaning. It's just nobody, I don't know. It's just nobody wants to go. And like, it kind of sucks because, like, when we moved back here, like my favorite theater in the whole wide world, which is the Kendig Square Movie 6. I fully admit it's a piece of crap theater. Tickets are like $4. You can get like an endless tub of popcorn, candy, and a drink all for like $15. actually, no, I lied. It's like $10 for everything. And it's just like half the seats are broken. You know, the projector kind of sucks. The sound is either like a little quiet or it's like, you know, bombastic. But I love it. You know, I've got fond memories of being at this theater when I was a kid when it first opened. And so I was thrilled that, you know, I moved back to Lancaster. It's literally 5 minutes from my house now. If I wasn't so fat, I could actually walk through it. And now, because of the pandemic, they're like, yeah, we're going to close the theater. And we're not sure when it's going to reopen. And I'm just like, God damn it.
I'm lucky our Berwick Theater is still open. I haven't gone. They limit their shows to 20 tickets a night.
Yeah.
That's it. So they are not making much money when they're showing stuff. It's all been like old stuff like Toy Story, Nightmare Before Christmas, mm-hmm. shit like that.
Yeah.
Tickets are only $5. Even when they have new movies, tickets are only $5. I love our local theater. The popcorn and drinks are pretty cheap. You could spend $10 for drink popcorn and you're set.
Large. Yeah. It's just Kendig was the same way, except shittier. and I loved it for it being so shitty. Like it was gleefully shitty. Also like half the urinals were broken, which nice. Is fantastic. but yeah. All right. So Monster Hunter's doing that. Some arcade news, which I know we don't really talk about that much. Twin Galaxies is now suing Billy Mitchell.
Oh, Jesus.
After he sued them for defamation of character. They are now suing him for... God, I don't want to mess this up. God.
You're not live on a show or anything.
Yeah, shut up.
okay. Cole, how can you let this stand? You're not saying anything.
Okay.
I mean, we already know what kind of co-host he's going to be.
Shut up. Shut up, both of you. All right. So the suit alleges not only deliberate misrepresentation of Billy Mitchell's high scores and achievements in order to artificially inflate the company's value, but that Billy Mitchell and Walter Day, who used to be the other co-owner, like, if you've seen, documentaries with Twin Galaxies in there. Walter Day was always the guy in like the referee shirt. He was essentially like the keeper of the high scores and all that kind of stuff. He used the business allegedly, according to this lawsuit, you know, I'm saying allegedly because obviously it has to be discovered in court and all that kind of stuff. But also Billy Mitchell tends to be a tad, you know, litigious. So allegedly, they used the business to pay off personal debts, which is like a yikes. So Twin Galaxies is suing Billy Mitchell and Walter Day for about $6 million.
That's such a stupid lawsuit. Like both parties involved are just stupid.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things where it's just like. You know, it's like I heard about like the lawsuit or Twin Galaxies dropping all of Billy Mitchell's high scores and stuff like that. And it's just like, I don't know. It's one of those just like, oh, well, we found out that he used an arcade machine that, you know, pumped it by like X, you know, amount of seconds or something like that. And I'm just like, I don't. Okay, guys, I get where you're coming from, but. God damn, there's more important things in this world.
Yes, like but. The fact that Lightspeed Halo just dropped 20 bits in chat. George, take it away.
Dropping bits!
Yeah, dropping bits. So thank you. And also, thank you earlier, Trash Rando subscribed to us with Amazon Prime. So that was pretty awesome.
That's very nice of them.
Randall Flozax dropped 80 bits earlier before we went live. There's some good beans in chat tonight.
Yep.
Good so. Peoples. And Aki.
Yeah.
and Carnage.
So, with other news with that, also Disney is dropping its its own VR arcade business, The Void, that it was investing heavily in, probably due to the pandemic, and nobody wants to, like, put on VR helmets that, you know, some sweaty dude bro put on, you know, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And also, partially because VR headsets are now hell of a lot cheaper, and so people are just doing it all at home. And supposedly that Vader Immortal thing was a test run for it, and so Disney was very pleased, and it looks like they're just going to drop The Void.
Interesting.
And the only other news I have, which came from Aki on Twitter earlier today, is that YouTube is going to start monetization of all videos, period, dot, next year.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you signed up for it or not.
Use Adblock.
Yep.
We're not monetized on YouTube. I don't have a big enough audience. I don't know if they have ads on our videos anyway. I'm sure half of them do because of licensed music. They need their ad money. But yeah, use Adblock. Fuck them. Use Adblock on Twitch, too. Twitch, fuck off with your new commercials before streams. Oh, my God.
Twitch has been trying to find ways around Adblock.
Yeah, I can tell. Adblock needs to fight back. Those commercials, if I have to see that goddamn fridge ketchup commercial one more time, and then I swear to God, my streams are crashing so much more frequently, and then I have to refresh it, and guess what? There's a new ad.
Mm-hmm.
I swear it's intentional. I've had a lot of
problems lately with streams crashing. The interesting thing for me is that everybody I watch I'm sub to. And so I don't deal with ads much, so I don't know what's causing the crashing on my end.
I don't know. Maybe Twitch just starting to suck more.
Maybe.
Get your shit together, Twitch.
Say what you will about Mixer, but the fact that Twitch lost competition is a damn shame.
Yeah.
Nord just commented on that Twin Galaxies article I posted to the Facebook thing, that this saga is the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, God. Anyway, if that's all for news, we got some reviews to talk about. Are y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose.
All right, well, first game to talk about tonight is called Planet Coaster Console Edition, developed and published by Frontier Development, released November 10th on Xbox One and Series X and S, November 12th on PS4 and PS5 for $49.99. Welcome to a new era in coaster park simulation. Bring your ideas to life with easy-to-use tools. Manage all aspects of your expanding empire and harness the world's best creations from an endlessly creative community in the Frontier Workshop. I think that's on Steam. I don't know. Is there a Frontier
Workshop? No, it isn't. It is on PC or Xbox too.
That is pretty awesome. Well, Cole, tell us about Planet Coaster Console Edition.
Let me tell you that we all already know how much I love management games. And we know how much I get addicted to them and the problems therein that brings. I had to make an agreement with myself this week that I would not play Planet Coaster until I had completed all my other review games for the week.
Okay.
That was hard, but I did it. And then I played Planet Coaster for 3 days straight.
Oh, jeez.
Because I had lost time to make up for.
Wow.
Because I love management games.
Yeah, you were a little excited when I offered this one to you. I didn't know you were going to be this excited.
I fucking love Planet Coaster. Okay, so I grew up playing Roller Coaster Tycoon and building these theme parks and decking them out the way I want and making sure that I've got things where people want them and I got a happy customer base and I'm rolling in the dough. Like, that's my happy place. And Roller Coaster Tycoon games, they kind of hit a wall at one point. And yeah, we had the complete edition come back out recently and of 3, and that's all well and good. But a good modern roller coaster theme park simulator type of game, we've been left wanting. And Planet Coaster's just here like, yo, watch this. And watch I did. the concepts are very simple. There's a whole lot of options. for auto snapping and rotating things so that it makes it really easy to jump in and just start building your theme parks. There's a couple of ways to approach it. There's a challenge mode where you have a limited amount of money and challenges will continually pop up and you have to try to knock them out. If you don't want to do a challenge, you can let its time run out, wait, and a new one will come up for you. And that's kind of like a more guided sandbox mode. There's also sandbox modes, just like, hey, here's the arena, do whatever the fuck you want with it, right?
Yeah.
And then there's the actual campaign, which is a series of different scenarios that you can play with. So you may have a scenario where the most recent one that I played a little bit with was you couldn't have any modern rides. You could only have like wooden roller coasters and everything had to have a fantasy look to it. You couldn't fit into an English cottage kind of look.
Hmm.
So you had to be careful, you know, what you were putting into to keep the people coming to the park happy. Otherwise, it would look out of place. Another scenario was you had a pirate had started a theme park and he had botched books, and you had to build this huge pirate themed theme park that was deeply in debt, and then you had to work to get it out of debt. Each one of the scenarios has a 3-star rating system available to it. So there will be a bronze, a silver, and a gold.
Oh, no.
The bronze will usually be something fairly easy. It'll be like, oh, just, you know, get your park's value up to $15,000 or something. That's actually one of the harder ones. And it'll be like, get it up to $2,000 or make $500 a month or something small like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then your silver tier will be like a build up on that. It'll be like, okay, build a roller coaster and you can build your own or, you know, from whatever, you know, components you have available to you. You do have to search to get different components and things like that. But you can either build your own or you can sit down a pre-built one that is available. And then your gold may be something like have a certain approval rating among your guests. So like 80% or whatever. They're all in the earlier scenarios really easy, but they definitely crank up in difficulty the further you get. For the most part, I had a great time just rolling through them. I complete all the stars back out of the scenario, say fuck it, and go through the next one. I like that like bite-sized challenge. I can get lost in building a specific theme park for days on end if I'm allowed to. So I have to like limit myself with these little bite-sized challenges. So I really enjoy the way that they've added these in here. And it's like, oh, you don't even have to worry about getting the gold star if you don't want to. You can stop after the first 2 stars and save it. Or you can get all 3 stars and still reload your save on that scenario and continue playing with where you were at any given time. The amount of saves that this game just stacks up is fantastic. You're like, oh, 3 months from now, I'm going to remember I had a park in the pirate area and like I only had 2 stars on it. I want to go back. You're like, hey, we still have that. Here you go.
Wonder if there's a limit on how many saves you're allowed.
I don't know, because it seems to save the different scenarios. Like, of course, once you've got the stars, it saves it. That's how many stars you've unlocked. But that specific part for that scenario stays where you like leave it. You can go back to it at any time. I forget how many scenarios there were in all. There were at least 8 that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay.
No, I can think of more than that. I'm sorry. I was visualizing it because there's usually like what it'll do is say the tutorial, for example. The tutorial will have the scenario and it'll have 2 different scenarios. So like, one will have the 3 stars available to it, but there will also be a second tutorial scenario that has 3 additional stars available to it. The pirate one has 3 different scenarios, each with 3 different star goals. So there are plenty of different scenarios that you can dive into and play with and fuck up or do well with, however you choose. If you're struggling too, it's really easy to just reload back through your auto saves and find a past save and pick up from there and try again. I actually had to do that at one point because I did run into a hiccup where something happened in my park where the path between the front door and the path between a ride just glitched and nobody would walk on it. So people were just gathering in huge masses on either side of this path and it was all properly connected. It wasn't giving me any errors. I couldn't for the life of me figure out what was going on. I closed the game down. I restarted it. Nope. Then people were just fucking standing there. And then I loaded back to a previous save by just a couple of minutes and the problem was gone. Weird. So hallelujah for that multitude of save issues. That's the only issue I had where people were like, we're not touching that point. I don't know what happened, but that's the only issue I had there. I will say I was really concerned about how all the menus in this game were going to be binded to a controller. For the most part, they did a really good job. I do have a few minor gripes. They rely very heavily on holding X and then rebinding the buttons a different way. So I'm kind of used to in simulators where you use the D-pad, left and right on the D-pad are your time control, right? It'll speed you up, slow you down, press up or down to pause or go again. That kind of just seems like that's the norm. And that's what I'm expecting. For some reason, in Planet Coaster, they've decided to bind it in such a way that you have to hold X, and then right on the D-pad is redo, left on the D-pad is undo, up on the D-pad is, depending on how many times you press it, is your three different time speeds. And then down is pause or play. I can't get a handle on this. I've just accepted playing the game. Like, as soon as I load it up, I set it to 2 out of 3 for speed and let it go. And I'm like, whatever happens, happens at that point. Because I can't, 1 is too slow, 3 is too fast to trust that I'm going to catch everything, 2 is like my happy medium. Because fucking with holding down X and then remembering which D-pad button does what, because it's so far from being the norm for what I expect for a sim game, it frustrates me. Now, for everything else, it's like, okay, I get it. It's fine. There's complicated menus and you need to bind buttons multiple times over. That's all well and good. And, like, you can kind of learn to adjust to that. But for time menus, there's a standard. This ain't it. You did mention the workshop. You can download other people's creations from the workshop. You can save your own to the workshop and upload them. I'm going to put this out there. It's on Game Pass, and it's a relatively easy completion if you download a lot of the pre-made systems people have already set up for this shit for some of these achievements. If that's something you want to knock out. I wouldn't say it's like, it's not like 15-minute or Pathologic 2-level easy completion, but you could do it in a reasonable amount of time, which is impressive for a fucking simulator because they never have quick completion.
No.
I might actually complete one legitimately at this point. Never mind. Saving Mars. Saving Mars, I completely just. Anyway.
Jacob, is it me or is Sheila? Is she breaking up a bit?
No. I can hear her just fine, unfortunately.
Because you're, like, kind of breaking up on my end, but Jacob's not, and I don't know.
Yeah, I can hear Cole just fine.
Everything sounds okay on my end.
I wish I didn't have to, but, but yeah, she's doing okay, I suppose.
Sometimes I get a little bit of feedback from your end, though. I can hear myself.
I think that's Jacob. Are you on speakerphone, Jacob?
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Aki says I sound fine to her. Maybe your headset shit in the bed.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
It's all you, Joe.
But yeah.
Probably.
Anyway, you should buy this game.
Is that your official verdict?
Yes, very much so.
And if you can't afford it, like you said, it is on Game Pass.
It's on Game Pass.
Fucking Game Pass.
So good.
Love it. And it's enhanced for the Series X and S.
It is, but I can't speak to that because
I didn't have a chance to fire it up. I don't have the hard drive space. I think I'm selling my Xbox One X to a friend this weekend for $200, and Ashley's like, just put that towards that fucking memory card you want. So I'll be getting an Xbox memory card because that's where we're at in life.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Next game to talk about is called Family Feud, developed and published by Ubisoft, released November 12th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $29.99. Step onto the iconic TV stage and compete against other teams to find the most popular responses to more than 1,500 official survey questions. Customize your character, then challenge your friends, family, and even other players online for a chance to bring the big prize home. Jacob, tell us about Family Feud.
So, I mean, if you've ever been sick, you know, during elementary school, and your parents wheeled in like their little shitty TV for you to watch, you've seen Family Feud. It's, you know, it's as your description said, you have to guess what, like, the top responses were from people who were interviewed by the show to certain things, like, you know, what are you most likely to find underneath your toilet? You know, how many, you know, chins does Jacob have?
Seven.
Stuff like, no, it's two. Anyway, although the judges are questioning that because it might be hidden by a beard. So you can either play the game solo, and of course you can add in other people, and you can just pass around the controller during a game. So, you know, you can have actual couch co-op on this, or you can play against other people. You can also do online gaming, which, believe it or not, I actually found people to play online with.
Nice. How'd that go?
I lost, but it was kind of bullshit at the end. That's fair, but I'll get into that later on. But, you know, just know I actually found people to play online with, which was, it's pretty fucking rare for the games that I have to review for this show.
True.
I think the last time I found anybody was Hot Shot Racing, and that was like, what, September? August? It was a while ago.
So
pretty much it's just, you know, you go up there, you have to buzz in first, and then you have to answer all the stuff, and then you can either pass it to the other team, or you can try to answer as many of them. And then after you get three strikes, you know, three incorrect answers, it goes over to the other team. And if they answer one of the answers correctly, then they get all the points and stuff like that. And it goes on for a few rounds. And then there's like a fast money round, where you have to, you know, give answers and other shit. So essentially, if you've seen the game, you know how to play it. For those who want to cheese it, the game does let you pause it during all parts except for fast money. And there are guides online of previous Family Feud episodes, because I think there's also like a mobile game or something like that. So people have been keeping track of this kind of stuff for years. The answers don't always match up, so I'll warn you that right now. But most of the time, they're pretty close. You'll be able to get most of them. There's various difficulty settings. Easy, moderate, difficult. And then I think there's like one other one that has to be unlocked. And then you just pretty much go from there. This is not going to be winning any Games of the Year award. It's for people who are fans of Family Feud or who just want a decent party game. And, you know, I could see it being one. Unfortunately, I had to play the game all by myself, except for when I played it online. And online played fine. It played like the normal game. My only complaint with online is that both of you are up for the fast money round, and whoever has the most points gets to go first, and then you go second, obviously. But you don't, like, if you answer the same thing as the first person, you don't get, like, they don't award you, like, extra time at the very beginning to figure out, like, a second possible answer. And so it's just like, you're just straight up fucked if you're the second person. Like, yeah. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, and I'm assuming that's how the game show actually works in that regard, for something like that. I've never actually seen it play out like that, but it's also been like 15 years since I've watched Family Feud. So I don't know, man. But yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's passable. As I said, you know, it's not going to win anything, like any Games of the Year awards. But, you know, for $20, if you're a fan of Family Feud,
$29.99. Do you ever pay attention at the beginning?
I thought I did. I thought you said 20.
$29.99.
That's a little steep. If it was 20, I'd be like, yeah, if you're a fan of the show. I guess for 30, if you're still a fan of the show, go for it. But I only found a couple of people to ever play online with, so I don't know if you're going to have much more luck than the other similar games that are out there, because, you know, it's in the same vein as the Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune games that were also released by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least currently with Family Feud, there is definitely people online playing, but it's just, I think you really have to like Family Feud to blow $30 on it. Now, if it's on sale, like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune are a couple times a year, absolutely go for it. A bunch of the achievements are fairly easy to get. You only have to play like maybe like 2 hours to get like, I think like 200 odd achievement points out of it. And it's something you can play in the background, really.
2 hours for 200 points is not a good turnover when you consider Rattalake games.
All right, but also Rattalake. Yeah. All right. That's fair. But I mean, like, I don't know. I don't get to review those that often, but I don't know. I was fine with what I was playing. Like, it's okay. It passes the time. But
I do have a few things I want to point out that you didn't. One thing I appreciate with the game is when you are putting answers in, there's predictive text assigned to the shoulder buttons and the triggers.
Yes.
And it's very, very helpful. And it's really good.
It, for the most part, I will say that it is really good. However, there are some odd glaring things that some of the answers you would figure would, like, it would have in there. It doesn't. I mean, unfortunately, I can't give, like, any specific, you know, questions that this happened on. But, yeah, I was very appreciative of that. Also, while I'm thinking of it, yeah, there's a bit of customization in it. Although I was a little surprised about body types, like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune were both pretty good with it, but essentially you are a thin man or a thin woman. Like, that is it. Like,
let me live my fantasy.
You know, it's just like, I was a little surprised that they didn't have more body types available, but I mean, maybe that's something that's going to get patched in later, but, you know, I don't know. What other stuff did you want to talk about, Joe?
There is a live show mode in the game that was really bad.
I watched
a stream, and, you know,
Were you watching me when I did it, or no?
No, okay. I was watching another streamer while he did it, and it. The whole point of it is for the streamer to answer the question and then for the audience to guess the answer as well. And it's all about getting the same answer as the streamer. The problem is the streamer puts his answer in on screen.
Yeah, but you still have to figure out which one of the four possible things that they had popped in, like, it's going to be. So, I mean, there's still a level of guessing to it.
Not really. the answers are usually obvious.
Maybe. Not always. But the thing is like, I did it myself, and I threw my Twitch stream on my phone, and there is enough of a delay for it to not be totally, for it to not be totally worthless. But at the same time, it is totally worthless, because if, like, you're like me, who has like three people who are subscribed to Twitch, like, it doesn't freaking matter. I can see this being like a boon for somebody who has, like, you know, a couple of hundred people watching them every day or something like that.
But for the average streamer who has five viewers, it's not going to be a world changer.
It's not going to make a big difference. Yeah. And it's
the streamer I was watching, what he actually did is he moved his camera to over where the answer would be input. So you couldn't see him entering the answer. It, the fact that they have that on screen is stupid.
Yeah, it's a little bit miffed, but at the same time, I kind of like, if you think about it, it's kind of like Wants to Be a Millionaire, where like, you know, they still throw up the four answers and then like, you know, oh, would you like to ask the audience? And so the audience still has the four possible answers that you're going to give. So I don't know. I didn't
Family Feud. You're not supposed to see any answers that the people guess. I thought the live show was abysmal. I thought it was pointless and it ruined the fun of it. And then the host, oh God, the fucking host. If I have to see him prance around and say stupid oh my God, I hated the host.
I didn't mind the host, but I've also played more than enough of Wheel of Fortune by Ubisoft that I've become numb to that kind of stuff. My prancing around that I hated was the contestants. That was fucking dumb. But again, it's not a game killer either. No, it's just
those are just minor gripes. But $30.
Yeah,
I don't regret spending $30 on the game.
Oh, okay. I would put it as a try it, but if it's on sale, you know, it's a definite buy.
I can agree there. Well, I guess you're done, Jacob.
Yay! I'm free.
Yeah, fuck out of here.
Just fuck out of here.
Okay, bye.
Do you have any final words?
No, I was leaving.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
He left.
Good.
Yay. Next game to talk about is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, developed by Appeal Studios, published by Microids, released November 17th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $29.99. Put your general knowledge to the test in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the official game. Gather all your knowledge and get the jackpot while avoiding all the trick questions facing you. This is your game show of the week, so what did you think of it?
Oof. This game is really rough around the edges. For basic gameplay, it is what it is, right? Like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is just a trivia show, and it's very simple, cut to the chase, guess the answer. Work your way up the ladder. When you beat it, you get to be a millionaire, and you're done. The end. It does that part fine. Visually, the character models in this game leave a lot to be desired. Not quite severe as Jacob, who at least had the option of a little more customization. The characters in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire are set in stone. They have their names. They're pre-made characters. They have different ages and backgrounds. None of that affects anything at all. It's just kind of how you present in the game. The model for the host looks like a wax mannequin. All of the character animations are very stiff. There was one part at the very beginning where the dialogue begins, and I recognize the voice of a screen reader anywhere. And it was definitely a screen reader's voice. Now, later on in the game, after that initial like screen reader section, the rest of the voices had been acted out, but they were just very short. There wasn't any like actual effort to them. It was just somebody stepped up to a mic and went, "So, who wants to be a millionaire?" And it was just all very dry and bland. I didn't feel excited to become a millionaire while I was playing this game. That said, shout out to them for making a single person experience be something you can play cooperatively or competitively. I don't know what possessed them to do it, but somehow this is the one thing in the game that works well. I wasn't able to find anybody to play online with. It does have online. I searched after 15 minutes. I was like, well, but it's 4 a.m. and shit like that happens. I have weird hours. I'm aware of that. That's on me. I cannot speak to how it functions during a normal day because my days are consumed by homeschooling right now. So I just couldn't drop everything to try it out during a normal hour. But for actual local play, I did get the kids to try it out with me. There are options to play where everybody has their own controller, but there's also a pass the controller option, which turned out really well because we only have so many controllers in this house and we have more people than controllers, believe it or not. We need to get a few more. But we were able to do the pass the controller and it went really well. The questions have two difficulties. There's easy and there's normal. Easy is like really meant for little kids, to the point that even number three felt a little offended at how easy they were. Like, there was one question, it was like, what do you call someone who paints? And the answers were a painter, a painter, a painter, and the other one was like a printer. And I was like, what? Like, they tried too hard to make them easy to the point that they were just insulting. And she just kind of looked at me and she's like, can I play on normal? Yes. The plus side is, though, if you are playing with as a family, each individual player gets to choose their difficulty of questions. So, you know, we just backed out, started again, and set all of us to be on normal because she was so annoyed with how easy the questions were. Most of the questions are fairly reasonable. I was plowing through them. Number one and number two were plowing through them really quickly. They will occasionally throw an oddball one in there that's just like, who the fuck knows? You know, but I guess that's the whole point of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? Like, you get all confident because you're answering everything smoothly. Also, it has
to the hard shit.
Yeah, it has the lifeline options, and I'm gonna be really honest here. I kept forgetting to use them. I don't even know how they play. We played like 8 games, and I'm like, we keep forgetting to use our lifelines. Oops.
How do you forget to use the light? If you don't know an answer,
it doesn't show them. Yeah, but it doesn't show you like how to do it either. It just says, hey, you have 3 lifelines, but it never actually says, here's how to use them. And like, it never pops up on the screen, hey, do you want to use a lifeline? And I'm like, well, I guess I'll figure this out, or, you know, not, and just kind of forget that it's an option they put in the game. Like, how to do it, I don't even fucking know.
Proud of you.
That's also kind of a testament to how easy it is. It was like, we played so many games and we knew so many of the answers that we didn't even think we needed the lifelines. They were just like, oh yeah, that's the thing that's in there. I don't know how they work. I forgot they existed in the game until I started talking about this review. And then, like, I visualized the screen and I was like, oh yeah, the lifelines were there. So I don't even know how it handles them. But yeah, it's not pretty. I think it's a solid okay of a game, right? Like, if you can look over how it's ugly and you just like some challenge from the trivia, or you want to play with a wide variety of skill sets and like you don't want everybody to be stuck playing on stupid hard because you're good at stupid hard. I wish there was just a stupid hard difficulty too, for the record. That would have been fun. Easy and normal is just kind of like, you're missing a few zones of trivia knowledge here. But I think the questions worked out okay enough. Excuse me. I also had something else I wanted to talk about with it, and I just lost it because I had to cough.
Proud of you.
Yeah, I know, right?
You're good at it this week.
Drugs.
Yay. Drugs are good. 30 yeah. bucks on this one. What do you think?
Oof. That is such a high price tag. Can I say try it when it goes on sale?
That's so basically the game show games this week should have come out at 20 instead of 30.
They really should. Yeah, they really should have. 30 is way too high for this. I expect a lot higher production value for a $30 game, and it's just not here. And that's a shame, because I think there's there could have been potential for a really cool Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style game. And it's just kind of like, it puts the facade of being Who Wants to Be a Millionaire up without any of like the thrill or excitement of it. Yeah.
All right. Well, next game is Bridge Constructor, The Walking Dead, developed by Clockstone, published by HeadUp. Released November 19th on Xbox, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99, PC for $9.99, mobile for $4.99. Join a group of survivors as they fight against hordes of undead walkers and a hostile human community. Build bridges and other constructions through bleak landscapes and ruined structures. Team up with fan-favorite characters like Daryl, Michonne, and Eugene and create a safe space for iconic vehicles from the series. And remember, there are walkers in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Z word.
Yeah, that's right. That word does not exist in the Walking Dead universe. So, the walkers, they're trying to eat you. Because that's what walkers do.
Yeah.
you know? And this is a bridge constructor game. I have to be honest. I have a couple of the bridge constructor games. I think I have all of them. And I've never played them until this one.
That's a shame.
I know. Like, it's one of those, like, I go, oh, I should check that out. I like puzzle games. I like physics games. This seems like a no-brainer for me. Except for, then they're just in the backlog of Doom.
it was the little giggle that got me. The no-brainer.
You just couldn't let it go either. You had to express your disgust. couldn't let it hang there and be funny.
No.
but yeah. so yeah, the Bridge Constructor of the Walking Dead is a game, and it has a Walking Dead tie-in, and I know a whole lot about the Walking Dead, so I should clearly be the person to do this review, even though I know jack shit about Bridge Constructor. Physics-based game, build bridges, get across them. Sounds pretty simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most complicated, convoluted puzzle games I've ever seen in my life. Like, the controls and the basics and the concept of it are stupid simple. I don't know how you like look at it and not get it. And I looked at it, and with every puzzle, I was like, I know how to do this immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would press start to watch the puzzle play out. And that's the point where the walkers go across. Make sure everybody's paying attention. The walkers do their walky thing, and the living do their walky things. And then everything else does its physics thing, right? So let's say that one of the early puzzles, for example, you have a great big ass gap, and you got like a cable spool up high. And you need that cable spool to roll down, squish the zombies, the walkers, but not
How could you.
I just keep doing it.
I trusted you.
Just because I can. Because you said that in the beginning.
PR is going to be pissed.
Never getting another Walking Dead game for review. Yeah, anyway, so you needed to squish the walkers and not squish the humans. And ideally, you need the humans to get from point A to point B safely. And you do this by building bridges and basically convoluted Rube Goldberg contraptions to get things where you need them to be. Every time I thought I knew what I was doing, every motherfucking time, I would press A and my shit would collapse. Because I was clearly not as good at building bridges as I thought I was. One time I built a bridge and I was so proud of it. And I was like, this is the most solid bridge I've ever built. And then I pressed A and my human fell through the bridge. Do you know why? Because my fucking human walked out on a bridge that didn't have a road on it. I built all the supports. And I forgot to double click to lay down some boards for a motherfucking road.
Even better is when you make a bridge. You're like, this is the greatest bridge I've ever made. You hit start and it just sinks.
Yes! Every goddamn time!
Son of
This game made me feel like I was looking at a puzzle and I was like, fuck, I know what I'm doing here. Fuck yeah, I am so good. Right? And then, whoosh, everybody's dead. I will say, I do have a small complaint. I don't think that the button binding is the best. I had a really hard time adjusting to, and this was where a lot of my failures come in. For building the bridges, it's fine. I fucked that up on my own. That was my own accord. But for navigating where the humans needed to go, you had to issue them commands and tell them how to interact with certain areas of the scene, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, for the love of God, I just would spend 15 minutes clicking hopelessly for nothing to happen. And then I'd look and it would be, oh, it saved those inputs, but they're in the wrong order because I was clicking so hopelessly that I didn't get it to do what I actually wanted it to do. I was so frustrated with these goddamn inputs. I gradually got better, but I was so frustrated by the time I started to get better that I didn't care. I was just mad about it. And I'm still mad about it. There has definitely got to be a better input mechanism that they could have used for moving those humans around, because what's there sucks. Now, for everything else, it's great. It's hard, but it's great. But that movement for the humans just really sours a lot of the game for me. I will say, shout out to the writers. You do meet with different characters from the Walking Dead universe. And when you put the characters from the TV show on your box art, there is an element of expectation involved where you need the characters to behave in the game like they would on the show. I don't know who's responsible for writing Eugene's lines, but I wanted to punch that motherfucker through my screen every time his dialogue popped up. And I was like, yeah, they captured him. I fucking hate him. So they did a good job. Like, I was just so annoyed. I was like, of all the people they had to code, they couldn't think of anybody else. God damn Eugene. And like, every one of his speaking mannerisms is just, it's so crystal clear that if you've seen one episode of him in the show, you would hear his voice the whole time you're playing the game. And I was just like, make it stop. They did a good job, but fuck, make it stop. Because I am not a Eugene fan.
Well, you might not be a Eugene fan, but are you a fan of Bridge Constructor, The Walking Dead?
I'm bad at it, but yes, I think it. If you're already a fan of either of these franchises, like, you're not listening to me. You've bought it, and you kind of should have, because it's definitely a good mashup, even with its difficulties. I just wish I didn't suck at it so bad.
Well, you're always going to suck at Bridge Constructor games.
You know,
that's just the nature of Bridge Constructor games.
Is it because, like, the whole time, you know what my mind immediately does when there's walkers and or zombies of some variety involved? My brain goes, where's the pistol?
Yeah.
And, like, the whole time, I'm just like, this is stupid. Just get a gun. And, like, they open it with, you know, we are all out of guns. And then it's like, okay, but you have the bridges. And I'm annoyed. Melt down some of that steel.
Oh, Jesus. Next game to talk about is called Exit the Gungeon, developed by Dodge Roll and Single Core, published by Devolver Digital, released November 13th on Xbox One and PS4 for $9.99. Exit the Gungeon is a small arcade-style spin-off dungeon climber that immediately follows the adventures of the misfit Gungeoneers attempting to survive a series of increasingly dangerous elevators and countless waves of enemies. Paul, tell us about Exit the Gungeon.
The first time I tried to play this game was on the Switch, and that was dumb. It was on a teeny tiny little screen, and I was so frustrated, and I was like, look, I know I'm good at Enter the Gungeon. I may not be, like, kill all the past good, but I'm good enough that I don't die on, like, the second room. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck I was doing to save myself. Thank goodness, we finally have this shit on big screens now. Because Exit the Gungeon is a lot better than I thought it was in my previous run-in with it. I was so disappointed. I was like, the vertical gameplay combined with this small-ass screen, and I know you could be like, well, you can play it on a TV, but no, it's just half the fun of the Switch is that you don't need a TV for it, right?
The other half is using the TV on games like this.
Well, you know what? If I'm going to use the TV, I'm using my motherfucking Xbox. And now I can. And suddenly, Exit the Gungeon is 112% better of a game than it was the last time I played it. I am so happy to see this shit on a big screen. I can actually tell what's going on. The issue with the game is that all the sprites and everything that's happening, one, it's an overload. Like, it's a bullet hell. It's meant to like just constantly have shit flying everywhere, and you need to be able to see where that shit that's flying everywhere is actually going. And now I can. I'm so happy about it. It's so much more fun when you can actually tell what the fuck's happening on the screen. So for all of your efforts in Enter the Gungeon, all of your efforts to destroy your past, all those bullets that flung around everywhere ripping through space and time, you kind of fucked up the Gungeon, and now it's collapsing, and now you got to get the fuck on out of there. And the way to do that is through the elevators that take you up through the different floors. So this is, like I said before, vertical gameplay. You're moving upward as opposed to going floor to floor via like a flat 2D space, right? Well, I guess it's still a flat 2D space. Just how the fuck am I supposed to explain this?
It's from the side instead of from the top.
Yeah, it's not a top down. It's from the side. didn't I have this problem the last time I explained this game? I was like, how do you fucking explain this shit? yeah, so it's from the side. You're going vertically. Enemies come up from the tops, the bottoms, the sides. It's not you moving room to room as an individual room. However, when you do get between levels, between floors, you do have the option to like go into a different couple of rooms that you can get some bonus chests, get some goodies out of. That's nice because you lose out on the element of picking up items and stuff by not going room to room. To satisfy the need to be picking up the different guns like you would in Enter the Gungeon, you are blessed with a gun that automatically changes every so often. That is both a blessing and a curse. And when you get the nail gun and you're going against the boss, you're just ready to throw your controller out the window and say, I quit. the randomized guns can really fuck you over. They can also, you know, help you out if you get something really good when you're in a boss fight. I like the tentacle that just grabs shit and squishes it. It's fantastic. However, the nail gun just makes you want to weep every time you get it because you always get it when you're fighting something big. And it's like, the game just, yeah, the game is just laughing at you at that point. Every now and then you'll rack up some combos. Things will fly around. Again, it's got to make up for the aspect of you not going room to room, so it doesn't have the normal drops. So if you rack up a combo, like, a heart canister will come by, or half a heart bullet will go by, or you'll get other power-ups. At one point, I got a helmet. That was great until the boss just knocked it right off my head, and that sucked. But at least I didn't die. It's every bit as hard as its predecessor. I think in some ways it's harder and in some ways it's easier because you have the option to gain money a little more easily. When you are on the in-between floors where the shop is, there are usually a couple of rooms available as well that you can go into and clear out and get a little extra money, and that can help if you're in need of buying hearts or armor or whatever. You can buy keys from the rat. The rat is a fucker, and he has locked up all your buddies this time, and you need to buy the keys from him to unlock your buddies. It sucks when you're having a really good run, and you have a rat key, and then you die before you find your buddy. And I'm like, no, but I had the key. So you can unlock different characters that way, and it makes the game easier or harder, depending on how you want to play. As is typical of a Gungeon game, it's surprisingly deeper than what you expect. You're like, okay, I'm going to go in, I'm going to shoot some enemies, I'm going to die, and I'm going to start over. But no, the lore is actually really crazy. I can't remember. I think it was called a Diginomicron this time, instead of your Ammonomicron. And it was like, it kept records of everything you come in contact with. But it's like a little digital screen, and it's adorable. And also kind of traumatizing when you really think about it. Game is surprisingly dark for all of its cuteness. Like, those are the most kawaii bullets you'll ever come in contact with. But I do absolutely, I adore Gungeon, and I'm glad to see that they've expanded Exit the Gungeon's range, because I was really concerned when they first announced it.
Well, then overall, $10, your verdict?
This is a buy it. Why is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire $30 and something as good as Exit the Gungeon is only $10?
Different companies charge different prices.
I know, but it's so weird when you think about value for money, man. You know? Gungeon is just, they let you steal the game. It's so cheap and so good.
All right, final game to talk about is called Kid Trip, developed and published by Four Horses, released November 19th on Xbox and Windows 10 for $3.99. Kid Trip has crashed on a mysterious island, and now the local wildlife is out to ruin his day. Run and jump your way through 20 levels of intense platforming madness in this tough-as-nails platformer. Have you got what it takes to help Kid Trip escape? Paul, tell us about Kid Trip.
I do not have what it takes. I had a theory that I was going to be pretty decent at Kid Trip because I'd already played Miles and Kilo. And that's the same dev, and it's basically the same concept. That preconceived notion was a lie. I am trash at Kid Trip, and the game is a lot harder than you would think it would be. It is a side-scrolling platformer. It's an auto runner. You can press back to slow down to a walk. It doesn't matter. That little fucker is going to run anyway. He's got places to go, and most of the time, it's straight into the mouth of a cobra.
Nice.
Yeah. I died a lot by the snakes and everything else. I died to spikes. I died to monkeys throwing coconuts at me. I died to missing a balloon jump and falling into a chasm. I just died so many different ways. I will say the level design is really creative a lot of the ways they've set it up. Because it is limited, you don't have the ability to control your, other than your speed, you don't really control where you're going. It's just left to right, you know? But you do have the option to jump or throw stones. I was concerned when I did the tutorial levels because I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, they put jump on the B button and they put throw on the A, and I'm never going to get anywhere in this game with this like this, right? Shout out to the devs who made accessibility features, and you can bind your controls however you want.
Yay! That's how it should be.
Yeah, every game from every dev needs to do that. Please. I was able to set it up so it was far more playable, and I made it a lot further than I thought I would, despite the fact that I sucked. It's got a very retro art style to it. It's definitely got some old school, this is based on the games we played in the 80s kind of vibe. And that's all well and good, but it also means it's got that difficulty aspect. The game overs can fuck off. I just get annoyed immediately when something tells me game over these days. I don't understand. Just let me keep trying. I get it that I suck. You don't need to throw it up where my family can see it over my shoulder.
Good way to put it.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest complaint, because like, then my kids walk by and they go, oh, he died! Shut up.
Your complaint isn't the achievements?
I didn't even look at the achievements. I knew that I couldn't. The achievements are just things these days that I'm like, no.
How about complete the game without losing a life?
Yeah, see, no, fuck that.
Complete the game using no more than one stone.
Why?
complete the game faster or complete the game with more coins than Mick Waits, the creator. Beat the developer part one and part two. I think those are cool achievements, but I will never in my life get them.
Yeah.
Although not surprisingly, someone has already.
I'm sure there are people who are fucking robots, but I mean, I don't know. I'm so annoyed with that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. I come to think of it, I don't remember if Miles and Kilo was an easy completion. I want to say it had some wild-ass achievements, too.
Probably.
Because I feel like I didn't finish it either, achievement-wise. My eyeball is twitching just thinking about those achievements. That's stupid. That's how do you go and do something so good as to give me key controller binding and then you fuck it up with achievements? What a damn shame. Yeah, retro game. It is what it is. It's fine. It's not going to like shake your world, but it's not bad. But those achievements are bad.
Well, then overall, your thoughts on it for $4?
You know, if it were easier achievements, I'd go with a fuck it. Why not? At $4, I think it can justify a try it, but it's got some perks, but not enough to go full on. Hey, yeah, you should just grab it. It's $4, right? You know, so
works for me.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with a try it on it.
Works for me. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. Under 2 hours. Not bad.
What? Fuck yeah.
I thought it would be shorter, but no, Jacob had to go talk about fucking everything.
Yep.
Ugh, friggin' Jacob. You have any final words?
Fucking Jacob.